Great to be with you this morning. Although it looks like we're missing a lot of folks today, but that's okay. Those of us who are able to gather together, we're going to worship the Lord. But we need to look around and maybe check on some of these folks that aren't here and find out and make sure that they're doing okay. We're going to talk about the holidays today. Over the last several years, there has been this concerted effort on the part of a lot of folks, a lot of entities, to try to diminish any religious aspect of the Christmas holidays at all. And, you know, we as Christians who like Christ and Christmas and all that, you know, we get into all these different things and, you know, there's this dialogue, this argument really that's going back and forth between, you know, put Christ back in Christmas and Christmas isn't about Jesus. It's not his birthday and, you know, it wasn't even at this time of the year. And we get into all those kinds of debates and so forth. And even the schools over the last couple of years have stopped having Christmas parties. They have holiday parties. The stores, many of which, quit advertising Christmas sales and now have holiday sales. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but this year, that's kind of turning back a little bit where there are several stores that are, again, advertising Christmas and using the word Christmas rather than just simply holidays. You might be interested and overjoyed to know that in the latest Rasmussen poll, which just came out last Monday, I read this, they did a poll about across America to ask people what they believe that Christmas was all about. 76% of Americans believe that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. Okay? 76%. That's a pretty impressive number, isn't it? You see? 14% believe that it's about Santa Claus, and the other 10% aren't sure. You know, they don't know which way it really should go. But, you know, we look at those kinds of numbers, we have to stop and really take a look at and realize that in the church, there's an awful lot of confusion about what we should or shouldn't do about the holidays, in particular Christmas, but even some other holidays. Are we supposed to celebrate them? Are we not supposed to celebrate them? Can we celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ? Since we know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, is it okay for us to do that? There are those who would advocate the Bible does not authorize us to celebrate Christmas, so therefore it's unbiblical and thus wrong for us to celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. And these kinds of things go back and forth, and we almost seem more like the 24% of the Americans, those who rather celebrate it as Santa Claus or who are unsure, than we are of the 76% who want to focus on the birth of Jesus. There are a lot of questions that people have asked over the years, especially if you're here visiting with us, and perhaps are not members of the Churches of Christ, you don't know some of the traditions and so forth, that people oftentimes will ask, why don't you folks put up a Christmas tree in the church building? Why don't you decorate for Christmas and so forth? Good questions. But the main question is, what does the Bible, if anything, say about celebrating Christmas? See, so we can kind of clear up some of those questions. I remember many, many years ago at a church I was preaching at, we were getting ready to have a Sunday evening service right at the Christmas time. And I went to the fellow that was designated to lead singing for that evening, and I gave him a order of worship that I had prepared, and on that order of worship had a whole bunch of Christmas carols. He looked at the list and that I had, the worship order, and he looked at it and said, I'm supposed to lead singings, but I'm not going to do that. He said, you're going to have to find somebody else to do it if you want these songs to be sung. He said, I will do those songs any other time of the year, but now. Okay. So I found somebody else to lead singing. I thanked him, and it wasn't a problem, you know. I understood, and I'm going to share with you why. Didn't have a problem with that. Okay. But those are the kinds of things that we need to come to an understanding about, you know, the issue about putting up Christmas trees and so forth. What does the Bible say, if anything, about those kinds of things? The brother who says, no, I'm not going to lead Christmas songs during the Christmas season. What do we do about those things? Is it okay or is it not okay to do those things? What does the Bible say about Christmas? What about other holidays? Like Easter, for instance. That's another one, you see, that has the religious connections to it that we typically go, well, you know, we'll put out the Easter baskets and we'll do all the bunny stuff and so forth, but we're not celebrating it as, you know, this special service. We don't have a sunrise service and so on and so forth, because then we'd be kind of joining everybody else in celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So what does the Bible say about those holidays and what we as Christians can or can't do or should or shouldn't do? What can we learn from the Scriptures about that? And can we celebrate and enjoy the holidays and their religious connection, or do we have to just keep it secular? Well, I think that the answer, somebody said, well, where in the Bible does it say anything about Christmas? Believe it or not, it says something about Christmas in Romans chapter 14. If you'll turn there. Romans chapter 14. We're gonna look at this particular chapter here in understanding this whole concept of what do we do about these holidays. Notice that Paul begins in verse 1. Let's look at verses 1 through 4 first of all. And he begins by saying, "Except him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." Well, you see, in this text, Paul is addressing a problem of concern amongst the early Christians that had to do with some who were wanting to keep and hold on to some of the laws and the rules of the old law of Moses, while there were others who were saying, no, we don't have to keep those laws anymore. We're free from those laws. You see? And in particular, there were specific laws concerning the eating of meat. Are we, you know, the law of Moses prohibited them from eating certain kinds of meat. Well, the law is no longer in effect, then can we eat meat? Can we eat those meats that were declared unclean before but no longer are? Some were, some were not. See? And Paul refers to those kinds of things as disputable matters. In other words, they're things that we disagree on. But they are things that God has not said, here's what you have to do, either this way or that way. That's what makes them disputable matters, you see? In other words, there's no law there that says one way or the other. That law, the law that did say that, has been taken out of the way. And in the absence of replacing it with another provision, then it's gone. But the problem is that there were still some people who felt like, no, we still can't do that. Okay. And so in addressing this whole thing, Paul is trying to get them to understand and get us to understand there are some issues, there are some matters that leave us to making our own decisions. Some felt that they're required to abstain from these certain foods, and some felt like that they needed to keep certain days concerning the law. Or in other words, certain holidays. They needed to honor those feasts and holidays and so forth. And what Paul wants us to understand is that we've got to make room for the differences of belief on those kinds of matters. There is, in other words, no right or wrong. There's not a right or wrong answer on that. You see? Now, understand, these kinds of issues, okay, there really were not a Christmas or not Christmas kind of an issue. Okay? They were much, much more serious than that. Okay? They really, really were. Because you're talking about people who, for all of their lives, have been told, you cannot eat these kinds of foods. And you must honor these kinds of days and these special holidays and days. To them, those issues were issues and matters of sin. Because God had said, this is what you are to do. So we're not talking about, you know, some made-up holidays that people go, hey, let's celebrate the birth of Jesus and have Christmas, and we'll call it Christmas, and we'll do all these things and so forth. Oh, it's much, much more serious than that to Paul's audience when he wrote these things. But yet Paul refers to those matters as disputable matters. Do you understand what I'm saying here? As serious as those things were to those folks then, Paul refers to them now as disputable matters. In other words, it's okay to have your feeling and opinion about it one way or another, and no one has the right to say who is right or wrong. Notice that there are some who are mature in the faith here that he's talking about, and some who are not as mature in the faith. But Paul emphasizes one very important fact here. Every single one, whether mature or whether immature in the faith, every single one stands before God alone. Okay? So as Paul discusses this whole question of what he refers to as disputable matters, we need to understand, you know, how that applies to issues like holidays and other events that we may or may not want to be involved in. The issue becomes one that Paul says, look, this is about how each individual person lives to the Lord. Look at what he says beginning in verse 5. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Okay? He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. See, now, here's the thing that we've got to understand. Either way we go, whether you celebrate Christmas or whether you don't, you do it to the Lord. You see? That's Paul's point here. And, you know, some would say, well, no, he's not talking about Christmas. He's talking about the holidays and the special days under the old law. That's not his point. You see? All of those days were gone anyway. The law was taken out of the way and nailed to the cross, so they didn't apply. What he's talking about here is what people hold up as being special or important between them and the Lord. That's where it needs to stay. If we eat meat, certain kinds of meat, then we do that to the Lord. If we don't eat the meat, then we do that to the Lord. If we celebrate a special day, and it doesn't have to be Christmas, it could be any day. If you celebrate that day, then you celebrate it to the Lord. If you don't celebrate it, then you don't celebrate it to the Lord. In other words, that's between you and the Lord. You see, basically and fundamentally, what we have to understand is we belong to the Lord. You see? That's his point that he's trying to get us to understand. It is not an issue for us to judge one another as to whether or not it's okay for us to celebrate this or that. We want to, get on folks and say, well, you're sinning if you do that. Wait a minute. Isn't he saying just the opposite here? That's between you and the Lord. And on these kinds of disputable matters, I have no more right to say to someone, you're sinning if you celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ, than I do to say, you have to celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. I don't have any right to do that either way, and neither do you. That's between you and the Lord. That's Paul's point here, you see. Each particular person will stand before the Lord. He says we live to the Lord and we die to the Lord. What we have to understand here is our life is not our own. Did you realize that? You don't belong to you. Okay? And that may be a surprise to you, okay? But you don't belong to you. To the church in Corinth, Paul said, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. So you ceased belonging to you when you gave yourself to the Lord, you see, and now you belong to Him. So what that means is you live and you die to Him. Your life belongs to Him. What you do or don't do, you need to do it to Him because you belong to Him, you see. And therefore, it is not up to anyone else to judge one way or another someone else on those disputable matters. See? Look down at verse 9 through verse 12 here. Look at this. Paul says, for this very reason Christ died and returned to life so that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So since Jesus is Lord, okay, we live to Him, and He's the one who has the right to judge us on these disputable matters. He and He alone. Each of us is going to face Him in the judgment, and we will give answer to Him for our lives, for everything in our lives. What we have to understand is that there is a whole host of things that. And if you haven't read it lately, go back and read the requirements of the law of Moses. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I, for one, am really, really grateful that I didn't live under the law of Moses. Okay? I really, really am. I'm tremendously grateful that I live under the law of Christ. Because, for one thing, there is a tremendous amount of freedoms under the law of Christ that were not there under the law of Moses. You see, God has given us those freedoms, and that's what allows for, or even I would suggest creates in a sense, these disputable matters. Because God didn't say you can or you can't do this or that like He did under the old law. He leaves that up to us in our decisions. Now, there are folks who would say, no, you can't do this. And what I'm saying is, when people will do that, when they say, no, you cannot, if you celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ, then that's a sin. Because it's not authorized in the Bible, and you're going against the Bible, you're adding to, and so on and so forth. Now, I'll tell you what's sin. What sin is judging other people. Isn't that what Paul's saying right here? On disputable matters. Those folks are the ones who need to check what they're doing. See? We need to allow for people to make their decision. And I respect those folks who do not celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. And I respect those people who do. You see? And that's why with that one brother, when he said, no, I'll lead these songs any other time of the year, but not now. I don't agree with that, but hey, I respect that. Why? Because that's his choice. It's his belief. And I have to respect that. Right? So we need to allow for that. Now, as we look at all of that, there's another important part here that goes back and answers some of those questions that I brought up earlier. Why don't you folks put up Christmas trees? Why don't you decorate it for Christmas? Why don't you have a nativity scene and all of those kinds of things? Well, Paul answers that in this next section here, beginning in verse 13. And notice as he begins this particular part of these statements here, he uses that word, there it is again, therefore. Okay, we've talked about what that means many, many times. Therefore, in other words, what he's getting ready to say is based on what he's just said. Therefore, keeping in mind what he's just said about us, you know, allowing for one another on these disputable matters and not judging one another, he adds another important requirement. Stop passing judgments and stop putting stumbling blocks in one another's way. Look at what he has to say here. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God, look at this, is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore, there's that word again, okay? Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, what things? These disputable matters. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Well, what does Paul really want us to understand from this? Not only are we not to judge one another, we are to allow one another to decide and to believe whichever way you believe on these disputable matters, but then we have to go one step further and be careful about how we practice what we believe about those matters. Why don't we put up Christmas trees in the church building? Why don't we put up nativity scenes? Because there are some brethren who think that it is wrong. They believe that we should not do that. And if we were to do that, we would be putting stumbling blocks in their way. See? We would be causing problems and disunity and so forth in the church. And that I know is wrong, you see. And so when we're doing what we're doing, Paul's saying, look, you may have the freedom to do this, but if you're doing it is causing someone to sin, then you need to not do it for that reason. You see. we do have a responsibility to one another. So in other words, it's not a matter of, hey, I don't care if you don't believe it, that's too bad, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. No. No. Wrong attitude. Okay? We've got to make sure that what we do is not causing someone else to stumble. You know, I can have a Christmas tree in my home and I can celebrate Christmas however I want to in my home. And, you know, if you don't agree with that, then, you know, don't come to my home and you're not going to be offended by my Christmas tree. But I can't do the same thing here. If I say, well, we got to celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ and we got to put up Christmas trees and nativity scenes and all those things here, now I'm forcing my feeling and my opinion and my belief on you. And that's wrong. That's what Paul's talking about here, you see. And that's one of the main reasons why we don't do that. Do we have the freedom to do that? Would it be sinful for us to do that? To put up, to have a Christmas tree or to put up a nativity? No, it wouldn't be sinful, not according to what Paul says. But it would be sinful if we have people who felt like it was wrong and they would stumble because of that. That's why we don't do those kinds of things. That's why in the churches of Christ you typically won't find churches decorated with Christmas trees and nativity scenes and so forth. We don't have a special service, you know, at Christmas time and so on and so forth. Because we have learned to respect one another's beliefs and freedoms on those disputable matters. And that is as it should be according to what Paul is saying here, you see. So we can then enjoy the holidays how we believe they ought to be enjoyed without feeling guilty. If we do celebrate it as the birth of Jesus, or if we don't celebrate it as the birth of Jesus, we have the freedom from Christ to celebrate it as we believe it should be celebrated. Without feeling guilty, without trying to feel like that somebody else is violating God and so forth, we do that between us and God. And that is how God wants us to handle disputable matters. Why don't we celebrate, have a special, you know, sunrise service on Easter Sunday and celebrate that and make a big to-do over Easter and so forth? We typically celebrate it as, you know, the Easter bunny and the baskets and the candy and all that kind of stuff. Well, the simple reason for that is because we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every first day of the week. You know, there's no need for a special day to do that. We do it every first day of the week. Because every first day of the week is special in that way. And that's as He has instructed us to do in His Word, you see. So I hope that by sharing these thoughts from Paul here on these kinds of issues that perhaps they allow you to look at the holiday season maybe in a different perspective. And again, if your perspective is that, hey, I don't think it ought to be celebrated this way, then that's fine. That's great. Then don't celebrate it that way. Celebrate it how you believe it ought to be celebrated. But don't try to tell someone else they can't celebrate it in the way they want to celebrate it. You see, that's Paul's point. There is no right or wrong on this. Contrary to what many people say, many people try to teach and drag out all kinds of scriptures to try to make it says this, it doesn't say that, and so on and so forth. Now, I think that when it comes to these kinds of issues, disputable matters, Paul makes it very clear how God sees it and what we can and cannot do. And I hope that that helps you to be able to enjoy this holiday season in a way that you want to enjoy it without any guilt or wondering or any of that kind of stuff. That you know that God has given you the freedom to have that holiday and to respect it whichever way you feel is the way it needs to be done. That's between you and Him. Okay? I hope you do enjoy the holidays. I'm looking forward to mine. Cindy and I are going to be leaving later on this week so that we can get a little bit more spoiling time in with the grandchildren. We're working on getting them right up to the rotten scale. You know, on that scale there of spoiled children, they're almost at rotten. We're going to try to complete that over this holiday. So we will not be here this next week. Brother Dale will be preaching next Sunday morning. Ted will be teaching the Bible class for me. Next Sunday evening is the Christmas caroling at the Lafayette House, if I remember correctly. Okay, so that's what's happening there. I hope that you have a really great holiday, a good time with your family, and able to relax and just enjoy that. But I will say this: my heart is still, like Ted expressed, my heart is still just saddened by the tragedy there in Connecticut. It's just evil of just incomprehensible amount. I mean, it's just like, how could someone do that to children? There are right now a lot of people who are not going to have a very good Christmas this year simply because of that event. They're not going to be able to celebrate it very well, whether they're celebrating it with Jesus or whether they're celebrating it as Santa Claus. It's not going to be a very Merry Christmas for them. So two things I want to suggest to you. Number one, count your blessings. Realize and remember how blessed you really are. And number two, keep those folks in your prayers. And I don't mean just, you know, kind of one of these general, you know, oh, this bad thing, let's keep them in our prayers. I mean, pray for those folks that perhaps, especially for those, any of those up there who do not know the Lord, that perhaps this event can be used to bring them to know Jesus. Okay? So I want to suggest to you to keep those folks in mind in that way. Okay? Ed has a song that he's chosen for us to sing. We're going to use that as an invitation song. We'll go ahead and do that, and then I'll tell you a little bit more afterward. The Lord's invitation is open, and there may be somebody here this morning that's struggling with something in your life that sin has maybe got you trapped in, or something that you need help with. That's what we want to do as family, is to help you. There may be somebody here this morning yet who's not a Christian, and you're ready to make a commitment to give your life to Christ. You can do that this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as such and repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And you can have that sin washed away right now in the waters of baptism. But we can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we offer this invitation. I'll be up here to receive you. Dale, will you be in the back to receive anyone that would like to maybe have a private prayer or a talk with Dale? He'll be in the back to receive you there. We're going to stand together and sing this song, and the Lord's invitation is open to you. Let's stand together.